Mr. Talbert, thank you very much for joining me.
Glad to be on. Thank you for having me.
Now, you have just released a report on some of the alternatives to the economic development models that exist in Nunavut. Can you give me a brief outline of what is it that you found in your report?
Well, sure. The main thrust of the report is that governments tend to fall for the false promises of big corporate-led economic development solutions, such as mines and oil and gas leasing, and they tend to overlook developing smaller portfolios of sustainable projects that are targeted directly at improving livelihoods, especially for those least well-off. And so this report makes the case that these smaller projects, these smaller-scale sustainable development solutions, hold great promise while building an economy in Nunavut based on resource extraction is more of a curse than a blessing. And so digging in a little deeper in the report, we discuss opportunities for sustainable development that fall into four different thematic areas or sectors, if you will, the first being human capital, which is basically about skills and knowledge, making sure that those in Nunavut have access to all the knowledge and skills that are available to everyone else in the world to help them thrive in the modern economy. But also, in terms of human capital, it puts we believe the government of Nunavut and Canada should be calling attention to the incredible value of traditional ecological knowledge and the role of traditional ecological knowledge in sustaining livelihoods and making investments to make sure that that knowledge is disseminated to the youth and continues on in the next few generations. So that's the first sector. The second sector is renewable energy. We really think getting off the fossil fuel, the reliance on diesel for electricity, and with all its attendant health effects, is a real high priority, and there's great potential in sectors, especially for wind and solar in that region, to help reduce the consumption of fossil fuels. Indigenous tourism, or as it's known as Aboriginal tourism in Canada, also can make a big contribution, especially if that tourism is developed around creating ownership in the local communities rather than having, like, for instance, cruise ships come in from afar or big centralized tourism companies operating lodges and facilities. We think ownership of tourist resources in the indigenous communities offers great promise as well. And then finally, fisheries. As climate changes, the Arctic fisheries are likely to become more productive, and so strategic investments in helping the local communities benefit from those fisheries should pay off well. So these are just a sample of the sustainable development sectors that we believe offer far more promise than continuing down the road of resource extraction, which the government clearly wants to do.
Now, of course, Nunavut, like many other areas that have, you know, predominantly indigenous populations, is facing several challenges. It's a huge territory, the size of Western Europe, and its population is only about 37,000, you know, 40,000 people. How do those models that you have suggested work in this kind of environment?
Well, they work, they're actually the most suited for that kind of environment where you have a small dispersed population over a large geographic area. Sustainable development solutions make sure that in each of those small villages and communities, there's capacity for people to develop livelihood opportunities on their own, developing the skills and the knowledge in the locally owned businesses that will help them thrive in those particular areas instead of these large centralized solutions like the big mine on Baffin Island, where it kind of draws people from around the region and creates basically a machine that benefits the corporation that owns the mine. We're advocating for solutions that are in the villages, in the communities where people live, and enable them to stay there and use the resources productively and develop their skills and develop business opportunities that help keep those communities there on the land and their cultures intact.
Now, tell me how did you go about doing this study? Where did the money come from and the whole process?
Well, we were hired on as a consultant for Greenpeace Canada to help advise them on the kinds of economic development strategies that their work in the Arctic should focus on.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you go about doing this?
So the research first involved a comprehensive literature review of all the options that have already been put on the table, and then kind of an assessment of those options from using our expertise in economics and sustainable development, and also a number of interviews with folks up working in those areas in different sectors, such as renewable energy, indigenous tourism.
Now, a lot of the criticism that has been done over this kind of reports in the past is that they tend to be, have this southern perspective and have very little input from the local population itself. Did you in any way consult Inuit in the Nunavut about what they wanted to see as their priorities for economic and social growth?
Well, that very much. I mean, the entire report was simply distilling the input that's already been received to date from the Inuit communities up there. There's, the area has been well studied, and these solutions have been offered by communities up there for many years, but the government's been ignoring them. So we basically took the input from these communities that have already been put on the table in the context of all the research and studies and priorities for climate adaptation, and just to kind of assemble them in one place and then did an analysis of their potential for economic development. So the entire report is based on the local initiatives, the local solutions that have already been put together and advocated for by the local communities.
Now, how, just kind of taking a bit of a more bird's eye view of this, your report, of course, talks specifically about Nunavut. How about the rest of the Arctic? How are the solutions that you're proposing relate to the northern Scandinavia, Russia, Alaska, when it comes to sustainable development?
We think that the solutions that we are advocating for in Nunavut are identical to the solutions that will work in these other areas. And in fact, we're just finishing a report now looking at options for sustainable development in Alaska, of all places. I mean, it's a U.S. state, but it's most of the northern part of that state is indigenous and in the Arctic, similar to Nunavut, and the same kind of options that would benefit people in Nunavut would benefit communities in the Alaskan Arctic and rural areas in Alaska as well. So we think these solutions, even though the report is focused on Nunavut, they can be scaled up and expanded throughout the Arctic region.